You are now entering Zone 4. Please be seated and prepare to experience the nerd aristocracy. Any offences encountered by today's broadcast will not be the responsibility of the Mars Sivex Consolidated Drilling Corporation or its subsidiaries.
Welcome to the Nerd Aristocracy, the podcast for all things nerd. Available worldwide at nerdaristocracy.com. Now, the leaders of the nerd proletariat, your esteemed hosts, Jonathan Bell and Ryan Reinecke.
That is us. Here we are, episode 28.
28.
Yes.
Nothing special about that. 28 months in February, huh? Days, rather.
Yes.
It's a long fucking month.
I was like, shit.
It's a celebration that president gets
to me. We've been in February for forever. Oh, man. So what you been up to? We had a layoff. We had a layoff. Yeah. We didn't record last week.
Had a week's siesta.
You were caught up. You were
I was
busy.
Untangling the technological Gordian knot.
Yes.
As our website was hacked yet again. Bing! No, we're going to have to invest some and like get our Mr. Awesome voice guy to be like, Nerd Aristocracy hacked update.
Yes.
If it happens a third time.
Right.
This time, to be brief, we were laid vulnerable by a plugin that our theme uses, as it is WordPress-driven, because I'm more design-oriented than coding-oriented.
Right.
And WordPress, you can do a lot with it. I know just enough to kind of read between the lines, but not just to start from a text document and make a web page. So use WordPress, deal with it. Anyway, it's called a PHP Remote View Hack. If you look that up, and timthumb.php was the vulnerable file. It had not been updated, and there was a vulnerability in it that somebody exploited. And they were able to exploit in such a way where they were able to trick it into allowing somebody remotely, that means away from our server, away from having any administrative rights, to be able to write code to our installation on our server. So they're able to give themselves kind of admin access. Like imagine if somebody was just able to guess your password on your computer and do whatever the fuck they wanted to. That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. It resulted in a white page. You went to the Nerd Aristocracy, to which I went...
Yes. And, I noticed that as well, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I'm sure several people did. And yes. The thing with that is, I just got to start poking around and sniffing and see what's up and... kind of play Sherlock Holmes, put on my little nerd cap, and try to find out from indicators what it could possibly be. Now, on our RSS feed, our syndication feed that pumps out our podcast and updates to our website, there was a line of code added to the tail end of that, which kind of let me on the trail to start searching. And apparently this is going around hitting a lot of WordPress sites. But step one was identifying it. Step two was contacting our hosting provider because none of my backups were able to take and have them relapse to the day before that they had it backed up to. Although it still had the vulnerabilities in it because these people had been hitting it for a couple of days in order to bring it down. So like I had to go in and kind of de-louse the shit that they had installed before
right.
it came to a head again, kind
right.
of like take the seeds out. And then after that was spending about 16 hours, give or take, looking for likely vulnerabilities to WordPress installations and just spackling the hell out of that and making that all nice and Jim Dandy. So that was fucking fun. I've been having headaches with some of my neighbors, dude.
Really?
Yeah. Man, I've been
Ooh,
waiting for this.
Pray tell.
All right. First neighbor next door. Okay, this guy, interesting scenario, named Marvin, right?
Okay.
He used to run casinos in Haiti back in like the 80s when politicians would go down there to play dirty and gamble money away. God knows where they got it from.
Right.
And the motherfucker owned a casino, so he's not scrapping for cash. Anyway, situations have come around to where he's raising one of his grandchildren until they graduate from high school. Anyway, this kid, you know, overprivileged, probably overeducated, so he's fat and useless, has his buddies over, and they spend a lot of time in our mutual parking lot, which is kind of like a stunted cul-de-sac, but just has me and the neighbors.
Yes.
And they stay out there in a white O.J. Simpson Escalade kind of vehicle, a Jeep, if you will, Cherokee. And noticed that there were a lot of people driving in the driveway and then driving out of the driveway, driving in the driveway, driving out the driveway. And my wife was complaining about this. I was like, oh, honey, they're just kids. God knows what they're doing. And then I was like, wait, what are they doing? Because my wife was like, I bet they're selling weed.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, what? Come on. They're just kids.
The
you know?
Fuck out of here.
They're probably drinking the soda pop and eating the hot dogs.
Right.
So one night, the kid passes out. I'm bored. So I grab some tactical field goggles, binoculars.
Wow, this is like some covert ops.
Yeah, and I go up to the eagle's nest, which is because we have a second-story house, and the room is already dark. You know, so if you don't want somebody to see you inside a house, of course, you turn the lights out. Lights were already out.
That's generally how that works.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do when I'm stalking people in reverse. And I just poked some of my little field glasses up the corner of the window frame and just observed them. And in my time observing them, I saw a car of two good-looking high school chicks that would never talk to me in my finest day talking to this fucking schlub-a-dub and his four skinny and or fat buddies hanging out in the Cherokee.
And these are high school kids.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And they live next door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he went up and, like, got something from their car, went back to his Jeep Cherokee, came back to their car. They looked like they didn't want to look at him again.
So not a smooth drug deal.
Not at all.
Did you go over there and say, let me show you how this is done?
No, dude. I mean, I was running through so many different scenarios. It's like, oh, what do I do with this? I could dress in black and just start screaming and run out of the woods.
Right.
I could call the cops and fuck with them, but that's totally uncool.
Yeah, that's totally uncool.
And then I noticed them passing around a pipe and torquing it up inside the Jeep Cherokee.
Oh, nice.
Saw it. You know, it's hard to mistake that.
Wow, kids are getting stupid these days.
Dude, talk about fucking stupid. Thank you. And maybe 12 feet from the road? What? And I was like, okay, I don't really care what they're doing. It's mainly just annoying that cars are pulling in the driveway at, you know, 11 o'clock at night. So we get the whoosh of headlights and shit when we're trying to watch a movie or something. That's my main complaint. So what I had resolved to do was to bring my kid that had passed out on the couch upstairs, put her in bed.
Right.
Dress all in black.
Oh, God.
I was going to go out to the car and be like, hey, hey, buddy. What are you guys doing? No, you don't need to tell me, man. I've seen you. This place has been like the Sonic of Chronic. It's got to stop. It's annoying. You guys leave fucking trash out here because you've got the munchies. You're sloppy. You're going to get busted.
Right.
You probably should stop it. So to be cool, I'm not going to tell your grandpa. Give me a sack of weed. Swear to God, I was this close to doing it.
Yeah.
Just got the kid up, laced my shoes down. Ready for it, and they pull out and close up shop for the night. Because I was having, you know, I was like, hey, you know, I should do the right thing and just call the grandfather next day and be like, Marvin, I'm concerned about your grandson. I had his activity the other night, and you should probably nip that in the bud before he's accosted. And then I just kind of let it go. My wife got home, and I told her what I intended to do, and she said I was fucking crazy. And I was like, yeah, but they pissed me off, and I got into this whole
like, we're gonna lose our
spying
kid.
Thing. Well, the main thing that stopped me from wanting to do it is like, yeah, let me get on the bad side of four obviously stupid 17-year-olds that can egg toilet paper, break into my house, steal my beloved Mac computer,
sure,
and then maybe hurt my family, you know, after I lose things I care about.
Yes.
So that was one. That was one neighbor. There's another neighbor.
Okay. Is she selling crack?
Even better. No, even worse.
Okay.
They're selling Jesus.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Indeed.
I'm sorry.
Caddy corner across the street. Boom. Family moves into this property that's been for sale for like 2 years. Used to be a restaurant. Used to be a lawyer's office.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Big. You know, it's a nice property.
Yeah.
And my wife went over there and met the family, and then she came back and she informed me that the husband is a minister and that they're going to open a food pantry and minister out of there. And they have three children, two boys, one in the first grade, one in the third grade, and then a little girl that might be in preschool or something like that. Now, my daughter, we don't really live in like a neighborhood kind of thing where you can just like walk across the street. It's a very busy street that's out there. And so we haven't really spread out and met people in the neighborhood. Most of the people are old and retired anyway.
Right.
And so she was like, oh, kids I can play with. Yay, really excited. And so it's difficult because they're like crazy Christians.
Yeah.
And yet you don't want them
indoctrinating your child with the fucking bullshit.
I had a third grader ask me if I was a Christian within 2 minutes of meeting him.
Really?
Yes. That is very uncomfortable. Yeah. And I was not really. I said not really. Melissa said yes, because she had went there separately.
Oh, she came.
And the parents asked her. I was like, why'd you tell them yes? And now I'm telling them no. It's like, well, they're liars at the best, you know? So it's like, okay, this is great.
Then you know, really think you're Christians if you're lying to them.
Even worse. I was like, you know, we should, you know, lead by example, you know, right, exactly what sure they're not doing.
Yeah.
Be tolerant, yes, withheld. If they want to share that, that's something we grow into.
I mean, that's one of my big problems with modern day theology is, you know, 40% of the country are atheists, 80% are functional atheists, but still you'll have 90% of the country say they're Christian. Why? Because for some reason,
mm-hmm,
it's the wrong thing to do is to say you're not Christian.
Well, it's just one of those social situations. You don't want to rock the boat. Like, oh, did you like the spaghetti I made for 3 hours?
I'm all about fucking rocking the boat, dude.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
I will rock
don't
the fucking
tip
boat.
Tip the boat over.
I will rock the boat.
But I mean, like somebody, oh, hey, you know, here's some spaghetti I, you know, spent 3 hours cooking. How was it? You know, if you fucking hated it.
Yeah.
And you just want to be a decent person. You're like, hey, you know, it's pretty good. Spaghetti's not my thing, though.
Yeah, but I'm
not going to say it made me fucking vomit through my ass.
Right, but I think it's two different things because I'm not going to – I might – if I cook for you, I might say, hey, how'd you like it?
Mm-hmm.
But if I just meet you, I'm not going to say, hey, what are your thoughts on JC, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah,
I mean I'm not going to fucking be that dickhead.
That crosses a line.
And if I decide to be that dickhead, then I would not be shocked if somebody came back with, fuck no.
Well, it's very personal. It's like, hi, my name's Ryan. Have you ever eaten somebody's asshole?
Sure.
You know, it's like, what? Sorry?
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Can we, like, you know each other first before getting this personal? Because my relationship with Jesus is my relationship with people's assholes, apparently.
The two are often synonymous.
So that was the tip of the iceberg with them. Have since found out they don't watch Harry Potter. They don't watch this one. Got me. They're not allowed to watch SpongeBob SquarePants.
Wow.
You know why?
Why?
Because SpongeBob is dismembered in the title sequence. I guess they probably fucking have a popcorn fest over The Passion of the Christ. Wouldn't doubt it.
Right.
Well,
I mean, I take it they're not up on their Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote cartoons then, because I would say Acme would be very offensive to them and most of Acme's product lines.
So this has turned into every day my daughter, their kids getting off of a bus like, Robin, come and play with us. And Mom, Dad, let me play with my new friends. And us having to say, no. Not because of the religious thing. Honestly, not that. It's because they let their kids play in their driveway and their parking lot and in the surrounding area, just right, running around for hours outside where, hi, you know, let's go pick up a kid and, you know, pull a Mystic River on him. And I'm not cool with that, you know, because if it comes between their little fat redhead kid and my daughter's nice sweet pussy, they're going to take my daughter. Oh my God. So it's like, no, how about this? If they want to play in your house, more than welcome. Please don't show them anything more converting than VeggieTales, or they can come over to my place and I'll respect your fucking freaked out limited view right of the universe,
yeah,
and I won't show them The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Sure.
You know, or anything that's good. But that has been tedious.
I will not expose them to any art or culture.
We'll have them look at the wall because it's blank, like right, you know, their future. And so they'll come over in the afternoon, like, yeah, Robin, come and play and run around the driveway. I'm like, no, dude. I'm like, you're welcome to come in the house. We got juice. It's good. It's not poisoned. It's not made from blood.
Right.
But they're like, oh, my parents are still trying to learn the neighborhood, and it's difficult watching children lie because they can't just say my family thinks you're heathens,
right?
Or you worship Satan or something like that. And I'm just like, you know, that's unfortunate. If you guys want to play in your house, our daughter can come over. Right. You want to play in our house, you guys can come over. She cannot run around amok in the driveway.
Right.
Over there, your place with nobody been watching her.
Right.
And so that just really hasn't turned into them coming over at all, her going to their place. Awkward, awkward. Every morning is awkward sitting out there. This morning was Robin like, oh, this year I'm going to go to a really cool haunted house. Just waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't celebrate Halloween. And Robin's like, what? Why not? The other kid says, it celebrates Satan.
This really happened?
Oh, yes. This really happened.
Wow.
And I did this. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Did that number, just eye roll, gag. And then I was like, do you guys celebrate Easter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's Jesus' second act and blah, blah, blah. He came back in his Elvis suit and was awesome.
I was like, All right, you realize they have the prototypical pagan roots, both of them?
Yeah.
Where the fuck do the Eastern bunnies come from?
No,
anyway?
No, I mean.
But it was like, these are children, you know, they are brainwashed. Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, it's
pointless to have the conversation with adults as well. But,
yes, it is. Right. But that was my fun in the burbs.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, I had some fun in the city.
The city.
Hot sex in the city. Hot mess in the city. Hot something.
Hot
in the
messy
city.
Sex.
I had none of that, unfortunately.
Awesome.
But went to New Orleans this past weekend. The first Saints preseason game was Friday night, so made it over there. Did a little bit of pre-party tailgating kind of thing. Not a lot because I don't like sitting out there all day.
Yeah, yeah. Because by the time the game starts, you're ready to fucking die.
Exactly. So I get there 2-3 hours in advance, have some drinks, take my time, mosey in. Went, enjoyed the game. It was preseason, so the last couple of quarters were kind of boring.
Well, they blew the fuck out of them, too.
They did, but I mean, it was third string versus third string, so nobody really gives a shit anyway. But it was nice to be back in the dome and see everybody. And,
right.
Then went to some post-game festivities. Woke up early the next day, did the red dress run. And by like 4 or 5 o'clock, I was just out.
Now, the red dress run, is that actually, do you go from one part of the city to the other? You actually walk around?
It starts in I believe it's Washington Square right there on...
St. Charles or something? Or?
No, it's on Elysian Fields. Yeah.
Frenchman
and Elysian Fields. Okay. I think it's Washington Park or Washington Square. And... I don't know. Normally, I'm really wasted every time I walk by.
Great.
I've parked by it for 12 years, but anyway.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So that's where it's held.
Uh-huh.
And then there's like the first part of the day up in – it starts at like 8 and then goes to like noon,
mm-hmm.
1 o'clock, and then there's like a pub crawl.
Okay. And so that's the run part. Get alcohol somewhere
There's
else.
There's not actual the physical exertion of running.
That's what I was, is it a marathon or anything like that?
No, it is more of a pub crawl. And, but, you know, the people I was hanging out with wanted a lot of the bars that were on the crawl were around New Orleans or around Bourbon Street.
Mm.
And I have about a 45 minute maximum exposure.
Same
time to the Bourbon Street.
I have the same law for thrift stores too.
Right.
I start itching in different ways, whether I'm at the Bourbon Street or a thrift store.
Sure. Sure. So, that was pretty much how my weekend went.
Cool.
And, I got tired at about 4:35 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
decided to come back home, rest my weary feet, my weary back, and It was hot, so I was glad to get back into the air conditioning and put my feet up and take a shower and sleep in a bed. All of these things are very nice, and I've grown accustomed to all of them. So,
excuse me, fucking prince.
But it was another one of those essentially am I really getting this old kind of a thing? Because, I mean, granted, I had been partying since like 4 o'clock on Friday through to essentially straight through until like 5 o'clock on Saturday PM. But I used to party like that every single day.
Well, I think part of it is just being old hat at it. You're like, this is new. I mean, this is not new anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, not that I don't see the fun for other people, but I'm not there right now.
Right.
You know, like I've seen fucking Indiana Jones a million times, but I don't have to kill myself to watch it if it's on TV.
Sure. But no, that was fun. And prior to that, we went and did the photo shoot, which was fun and exciting.
It was. In fact, I got a surprise for you.
Or do you really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I do. I've been waiting for this moment.
Oh, wow. I'm scared. Oh, wow. Beautiful.
These are the ones I ordered after the fact. So for our studio session, we're going to get like a multi-pack just of one of the pictures.
Sure.
But they were so great. I was like, you know what? A little bit more. I don't want these to be lost.
No.
So I you know, ponied up. Dipped into the coffers of the aristocracy and got that beautiful thing. Now, this is the same image, but I moved it because I wanted to be able to get your beautiful deer.
Yes.
And also the top of my head.
Yes. It's beautiful.
And honestly, for me, it's a toss-up between these two. We went with that one like for the multi-set.
I'm glad we're talking about this and they have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Proletariat, you see this one right here?
Yeah. I'm looking at a sheet of photos of the two of us. From our photo shoot, and some of them are absolutely horrendous, and some are actually very amusing and
yeah, but the amusing ones, I think, you know, really tip the scales, blow it out of the water. We're going to be putting this up on the web by the time you guys hear this episode. Click on our about page, and it'll totally be different, and there will be some beautiful professional photos of Jonathan and myself as the leaders of the proletariat. I mean, we really went all out. We like decked out, really did our hair, made sure we looked pretty awesome before we did the studio session because it wasn't free, you know?
Right. We didn't want there to be any confusion as to what group of people we are the esteemed leaders of. So we wanted it to be clearly delineated. And that in that, I think we succeeded greatly.
Mm-hmm. Next photo shoot, we need to get some hookers.
There you go.
To like hang out with us.
I'm down. I'm down with that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some members of the proletariat might even volunteer their services. So how about some nerd news, huh?
Hit it, man. What do you got in your basket?
Ready for some nerd news. I thought we'd hit on some culture right off the bat. Found this, or lack thereof, more apt. I thought this was amusing. Apparently, this is... I don't know what level of confirmation there's been on this news story, but it's all over the web. So apparently there's some degree of truth to it, or at least they would have you believe. Apparently Abercrombie and Fitch has offered to pay the producers of Jersey Shore and some of the cast members, including The Situation, pay them money to stop wearing Abercrombie and Fitch clothes on the show.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Because apparently Abercrombie and Fitch feels that they are
hurting their image.
Yes. Abercrombie and Fitch doesn't kind of want to be known as the Jersey Shore clothing thing. Wow. And then once the Jersey Shore burns out and fades away, then if the two are inexplicably tied.
Wow.
Well, see,
how bad can something
be? Yeah, but that's what I find ironic is since high school, every douche I know has been wearing Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah, they just brought it to the pinnacle of douche bags.
Right, so it's kind of like, really? Like, is it that far off of your general demographic?
Yeah, but maybe they just don't want it known that well. You know, like World War II Germany. Hey, there's not that many Jews in the streets. Oh, yeah, I don't know where they've been. But they don't want you to see Auschwitz, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing with Abercrombie. Right. Now, are you sure it's not an Onion article? Because that sounds like one of those things that are too sweet and perfect to be true.
No, this specific article is on D-Listed. I also saw it on Yahoo and at least one other place.
Brilliant.
So, apparently it is...
Man.
there's some degree of truth to it. If not, it is a royal hoax. But
dude, what if you woke up one day and like you got a call from a corporation that said, please stop using our product. You are destroying our company.
Right.
That is just wow.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, he's got to know that he's famous for a reason.
Yeah, I'm sure he,
you know,
takes a couple of skanks pussies and sleeps like a baby.
Sure, there you go. Also, last night, which as we normally do, record on Wednesday, last night being Tuesday, the 16th, last night was the Big Lebowski cast reunion, because this week is the Lebowski Fest in New York City, where annually thousands of fans of the movie The Big Lebowski gather. And I'm sure many nerds, many members of the proletariat are fans of the film.
Right.
I know I am. And they had a cast reunion last night, a panel type discussion. And it was wrought with audio problems. So it was not a very well organized, well produced panel. But it was there were some funny moments. And I think some of it at least is on YouTube now. It was screening live on Ustream last night, but I'm sure there's clips out there. We'll post a link down below these in these show notes. And
fucking Jeff Daniels, Jeff Bridges, excuse me. He's just become the pot smoking guru that he's been portraying.
Yeah.
I think he's just officially flipped that lid and. No pun intended, and is now totally embodying that.
I think
so. That's cool. You know, I like the Big Lebowski. Would you go to an event like that? If somebody bought you a ticket, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those. I mean, I'm not a big enough fan to spend $3,000 of my own money flying to New York City, staying for the week, and doing nothing but talking about Big Lebowski all week.
Yeah.
Like Comic Con,
quoting it at each other.
Like Comic Con in San Diego, yeah, I would totally fucking go and eat it up.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's a cornucopia, though,
right?
By comparison.
Sure.
You know, this is like Freebase and like Boondock Saints. Some people,
yes,
are gaga about that.
Exactly.
No, I really enjoyed the Big Lebowski. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know, it didn't touch me in that Rocky Horror Picture Show way. Not that that did that either. You know, I'd be hard pressed to find something that I'm really that level of kind of fanatic about.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, there are very few films I think I would go that, overboard with. And, you know, I'm a fan of Big Lebowski. I enjoy having the Big Lebowski party where everybody drinks White Russians and curses a lot and does that kind of fun stuff. But as far as, you know, going and spending a couple of grand to hang out with people dressed as the dude, it would be fun, but not in the cards unless I hit the Powerball and then can say, right, you know what, fuck it, I'll go there for 2 days and get high and
run around in a bathroom.
Right. So, you know, that's it. But they were also selling the release of the Blu-ray and digital versions of the film, which we will have a link to should you like to purchase on Amazon.com.
You
will see it right below this episode. Click on it. Purchase through Amazon.com and you will get a good deal and help out the proletariat.
Yeah, that's something new we're introducing is tithing the crown of the aristocracy by doing a little affiliate Amazon thing. You guys go to our page, click on our Amazon link, and basically it'll be a click-through, as I understand that.
Yes.
Like they come, they click through, be brought to Amazon. Let's say you don't want to buy the Big Lebowski, you want to buy Blood Simple, first Coen Brothers movie. Click on our link, search, you know, whether it be that or sunglasses or whatever, and we'll get a couple of nickels for every purchase that the proletariat makes, which is pretty pretty sweet.
That's it. Yeah. And this is not something we'll be shoving down your neck every 2 seconds.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Right. On the show, it's just something where if you are going to be going to Amazon or you think, hey, I need something to buy, and in the same breath, I would like to help out the Nerd Aristocracy, contribute to the cost of the show, be it equipment or hosting or, you know, those kind of good things, you can do so and kill two birds with one stone.
Brought to you by College Junior.
That's it.
Here's what you do. Go ahead and make a bookmark in your toolbar or whatever, and have it go to the Nerd Aristocracy, but name it Amazon.com.
Yes.
So when you're like, oh, shit, I got to buy something, it automatically brings you there. So you don't have to remember this stuff, because I hate remembering things too.
Right. But it couldn't be more simple. You can click on any item below the episodes, or we should have some sort of Amazon graphic on the right-hand side of the page.
Sidebar.
Sidebar down a little bit. God. Right.
It has a name, person. This thing on the...
Hey, man. You got one of them pictures from the... From the .com Amazons.
Get that thing that's like a catalog that changes on the line.
But, yeah, so that should be that. And why don't we take a quick five, and then we'll come back and do some more goodness.
Let's
do
that.
For the people's word.
What the fuck are you talking about, huh? No, what the fuck are you... I'm not... We're talking about unchecked aggression here.
What the
dude.
Fuck is he talking
my
about?
My rug.
Forget Look, it, Donnie. You're out of your element.
Walter, the Chinaman who peed on my rug. I can't go give him a bill. So what the fuck are you talking about?
What the fuck are you talking about? The Chinaman is not the issue here, dude. I'm talking about drawing a line in the sand, dude. Across this line, you do not. Also, dude, Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature. Asian American, please.
And proletarians, right back at you. I'd like to start the second half by talking about an animated film I recently saw.
Please.
It is called Ringo.
Okay.
With Johnny Depp. Familiar with it?
I'm familiar with the title and the fact Johnny Depp was in it. Beyond right. that, I am a newbie.
It was a movie that I was not wanting to see.
Right.
There has been just a swath of animated, computer animated films. And they all kind of blend together.
Yes.
In my mind, having seen them, having a kid, I have to some degree.
Yes.
And like they do the same kind of setup, same kind of jokes. I mean, in the every now and then, a excellent one comes along, like The Incredibles or WALL-E, something like that. But it's like
seen WALL-E, have Shrek not seen 4. The Incredibles.
You haven't seen The Incredibles.
No.
That is pretty stellar, dude.
Does not look like anything I would remotely be interested in.
You would love it. It's smart. It fucking makes me cry almost every time I see it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's excellent.
Go ahead.
That's it. No. It has Johnny Depp in it, and I was speaking off air of like how I had this love-hate relationship with Johnny Depp.
Yes.
Like, I want to hate him,
sure.
But I can't help but respect him and continually like what he does.
Yes.
With the exception of the Pirates of the Caribbean, which is okay. Just him going to a big fucking ATM with a platinum card and withdrawing bags of mad cash.
I like the first couple. Mm-hmm. I think after that it was, and you say, okay, he had to sign on for the trilogy. We'll give him credit for 3. After that, it's kind of become like, okay, now it's a go into the ATM.
Yeah.
Thing.
When you do 4 of anything.
Yes. Because
no.
You're not Biff from Back to the Future, Which, by the way, very funny stand-up comedian, Tom Wilson. You can Google
really?
Him. Yes. You can YouTube him. Got some great videos.
There are 3 Back to the Future movies or 4?
No, there's 4.
Oh, fuck. See? Yeah, that's why.
Is there? No, there's only 3.
Sure. Back to the Future. Back to the Future 2.
we're gonna have to edit this.
Different games.
I cannot let the
Well, you do that, I'm going to look into the Ringo thing. Okay. Really enjoyed it. It was a joint production between an animation studio and Nickelodeon Studios, which surprised me. I was like, Nickelodeon Studios? Oh, it's not even Pixar, dude. I mean, even a Pixar movie can suck these days. And watched it, and I was floored. It was extremely well executed visually. The direction on it was superb. Any spaghetti western homage at the penultimate level, this could really fall in line with.
Right.
And the first children's movie I have seen in probably that has been made within, I'm going to say, 10 or 15 years where characters are smoking like cigars in it.
Right.
Drinking stuff and getting intoxicated. And say hell in it. They say hell 6 or 7 times. And it's weird to see it in an animated movie because we have so not seen that.
Right.
As an explicitive too, not like as a place.
Right.
Gonna kick the hell out of you. It's like, oh my God.
Right.
Does an animated character just say that?
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things with me, you know, going back to the traditional spaghetti westerns. Love the genre, but I just, there haven't been that many animated movies ever that have really tickled my fancy. I mean, you mentioned WALL-E, you know, especially recently. I mean, a lot of the old Disney stuff I'm a big fan of just because of the history involved and, you know, having gone to film school, learning about the original animators and those type of people. But as far as the new age, the Pixars and those kind of new age things, I just haven't really gotten on that bandwagon, because I think for a long time, you know, Pixar started to get popular in the Toy Story when I was a teenager, and it was uncool to be seen remotely
liking anything soft and
an animated movie. Right. And then by the time I was into adulthood and was mature enough to actually be able to appreciate them, just none of them really appealed to me.
Right. Like I like the first Shrek.
What was that one? Stayed. What was that one we watched over at your house not too long ago with the fucking, it was like apocalyptic and
Nine?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was pretty good.
That was steampunky
and dudes dying and shit like that, and all humanity's poisoned by machines.
Yeah, that was pretty fucked dark. Up.
Cool. It brings me back to those dark movies like, you know, the Don Bluth would tackle. I mean, he left the whole Disney machine because he wanted to do stuff like I told you about this one, a movie that I never wanted to see as a kid because it just sounded like a girl's gay fantasy. All dogs go to heaven. I was like, that's like fucking My Little Pony. Fuck that. I hate dogs. Right. I hate the idea of heaven and dogs in it. And All Dogs Go to Heaven, after watching and having a kid, begins off where the lead character gets murdered for a gambling debt. He runs a gambling hall, and everybody's drinking in there, and they're betting on racing rats and stuff, and gunshots, and just all kinds of inappropriate stuff takes place in New Orleans. Pretty good story. Well animated.
Right.
Not as dark as, oh, say, The Secret of Nim. You've seen that, I trust.
I have.
Yeah. That is, like, right on the top shelf there next to Dark Crystal for me. Watership Down. Have you seen Watership Down?
I have.
An adaptation of the book? Yeah, that's a fucked up cartoon, dude. Like, I haven't even launched that on my kid yet. I'm waiting maybe a couple more years.
Yeah, well, you know, me, you, and your wife were talking recently about the Robin Hood.
Right.
The Disney Robin Hood. And that was a pretty dark movie, too. I mean, it had some crazy, funny, over-the-top characters, you know, with the Sheriff of Nottingham and the, you know, the snake and all those things.
Fucking king.
Yes, sire. But, you know, it also had that class warfare, the caste system.
Yeah, starving out the poor. They're, like, eating crumbs.
Like, sending them to debtor's prison. Like, all these things that we're kind of seeing bubble up in our current state of affairs in America. And it's interesting to see that it's all kind of a big circle, you know?
Yeah, well, and that was made during Disney's lifetime. A lot of people say, like, well, Walt wasn't as fucking squeaky clean as Disney has become synonymous with.
Right.
I mean, like, those old classics when he was alive were kind of dark, and the stakes were a lot higher, and it wasn't, like, you know, so polished and fuzzy as, you know, Disney movies can be today.
Yeah, I have a movie that I wanted to mention. I just saw it today, called The Help, set in Mississippi. It's a movie about a novelist who wants to write a nonfiction book from the perspective of the help, the maids, the, you know,
those, like, the Mexicans around the 1950s.
So it pretty good movie, sad. Kind of made me feel embarrassed to be from Mississippi.
Of course.
As most accurate depictions do. But it was...
Was it pretty fair? I mean...
Yeah.
We're all white people.
It wasn't like browbeating, you know... You know, beating the maid because she missed a spot.
No massive raping anybody or anything.
It was just a... Wow, they really are treated like another species, you know, kind of a thing. And it was, it was a good movie. I would recommend
the
it.
Help. Was this a Netflix feature or?
No, this just got released into the theaters this past weekend. So, it's a good film, and I thought it kind of amusing because the main evil character, female mid-20s, reminded me so much of my most recent ex.
Really? Like,
yeah, in the just complete fake Southern Belle, you know, self-absorbed, pseudo-elitist, you know, that kind of mentality.
Say some more shining adjectives.
Yeah, right? But no, it was very amusing because the whole movie I was just like, wow, that is just like her.
Yeah, that's a great thing about cliches. It's like, I know that person.
Yeah.
I know three of those people.
It's like, if she was alive in the 1950s, that would have been her.
Wow.
So, but very, very, very good film. I would recommend it.
I'll check that out. I haven't been in the movie theaters to see a good real movie in a while.
And some more nerd-oriented news. Garmin GPS has just added two new voices to their GPS capabilities.
Thank God.
So you can now be directed to your destination by either Yoda or Darth Vader.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, is it really James Earl Jones and Frank Oz? Probably not.
Probably not Frank Oz.
No?
But I listened to the Darth Vader, and it sounded really, really, really similar to James Earl Jones. So if it's not him, it's somebody that does a goddamn good impression of it.
In there and everything, like.
Well, yeah, I mean, it only plays you a small clip, but it's pretty accurate.
So how much would I have to pay for like a Vader pack?
I think it's like $15.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
Not so bad.
Speaking of space, did you hear that SETI is up again?
I did.
A little bit, anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Throughout the end of the year. Unfortunately.
And Jodie Foster?
Yeah, Jodie Foster donated some coin there, and so did Larry Niven, author of the famous Ring World science fiction series, and former Apollo 8 astronaut Bill Anders, who was quoted as saying, "It's absolutely irresponsible for the human race not to be searching for evidence of extraterrestrial intelligence." Which is totally right on. It's the Allen Telescope Array that was featured in Contact. It will now operate 24/7 until the close of the year. Close of the year. $200,000 for what? 4 months? Right?
Yeah.
So what? There's 12 months in a year? So that tells me the annual operating budget is only $600,000.
Right.
But like reading into the article, it says that the full staff would cost $2.5 million a year. But if they can keep it running for $600,000 a year just to keep it running, then... But I guess you need staff to disseminate the information that you get and read through the logs and stuff like that.
Right.
You know. So.
Another space-oriented story, not really a story, but a astronaut caught a very cool picture of a shooting star not too far away from where he was. He took the shot from outer space. And we'll go ahead and link that under the show notes, but really cool picture, man. It's like, it shows the shooting star as it's coming towards the actual spaceship. And it was an American, NASA astronaut that caught the picture, but, during the Perseid meteor shower, he took a picture of a shooting star. And it's pretty fucking rad.
Dude, that's a craft deploying in the atmosphere, man.
Well, as you or I would bill it.
Wicked. Where's our bell?
Yes, exactly. You can catch them Sundays. But no, I thought that was pretty cool. And I think any of our space nerds out there will, if they haven't already seen it, will get a kick out of seeing it. And I know this will make you and some of our other fellow Trekkies happy. Star Trek, there's now a Star Trek theme park being developed in Jordan, of all places.
The country of Jordan?
The country of Jordan.
Where the nuts come from?
Aquaba, Jordan.
Of course, why not? Birthplace of...
And
not Gene Roddenberry.
It's set to begin construction in March of 2012. It's called the Red Sea Asterium. or Astrarium, which is a $1.5 billion development, will have four hotels and 17 amusement park style
all Star Trek
attractions. Themed? And no, one of them will be Star Trek themed. But I mean, it's basically like a Star Trek theme park inside this basically city of theme parks.
Holy Christ.
It's going to be like the Orlando of the Middle East.
Right.
And like one, and one of those theme parks will be Star Trek based.
Like it was Epcot Center, but instead of France,
right,
you had Star Trek World.
Yes.
Wow. That sounds spectacular that I will probably never experience in this lifetime.
That's very true.
Jordan, not high up on my list.
I would say you're probably not going to be making it to Jordan anytime soon.
That'd be pretty righteous, man.
So, that's your Trekkie news for the week. Also, I saw this on Facebook and I laughed and I thought you would get a big kick out of it. This week they are offering, let me see if I can get the exact offer right.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a haircut and a shot for $10 at the R Bar.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like a inoculation or something.
No. Like, what, but I thought it was so funny at like one of the most notorious hipster bars in New Orleans, they are offering haircuts.
Yeah.
See, apparently if the hipsters don't go to the haircuts, you bring the haircuts to the hipsters.
You've never done that before?
And you just set up in a bar.
I've actually done that before.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never done that.
I've done it probably about two or three times. They have an old style barber's chair that's like porcelain
kind of. I have sat there and gotten.
Yeah, it has a little tray tanked. That comes out of it. Put your ashtray on that, a beer. Yes. Pretty sweet. Yeah, they have, as you can imagine, a chick whose hair indicates that she probably does it herself and that she should not be cutting hair. The one cutting.
The salon of greatness that you have chosen
right?
Like, is the R Bar.
But it's like, hey, I'm out. Like, where else can I smoke a cigarette, have a shot, and get my fucking haircut for $10. And I was pleased as punch.
Nowhere but New Orleans, baby.
I don't know if they had a tie-in shot at the time. It might have been a draft beer, but that's pretty sweet.
There you go. But I found that to be amusing. It was the first I had heard of it. So found that to be kind of funny. Also, a feel-good story for you.
Mm.
Since we've been talking about some negative stories this episode, a feel-good story.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make it short. Basically,
I'm feeling good.
You should stop doing that immediately. But a coach for one of the defensive back coach or lower on the coaching totem pole for NFL fan or NFL team Pittsburgh Steelers went to another team. And this whole time with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a cafeteria worker in the team cafeteria used to mess with him about his car. The coach had a Mercedes.
Uh-huh.
And the cafeteria worker would be like, hey, man, when you going to let me drive your Mercedes? You know, blah, blah, blah. Mess with him every day. And the coach, his last day in the Steelers organization, he went to the cafeteria and he asked the guy, he was like, hey, man, I'm kind of short on cash today. Can I borrow $5 for my sandwich? And the guy was like, sure, man, you know, I know you're good for it. You know, I'll loan you some money. So he gave him a $20 bill and the coach tossed him back to the keys to the Mercedes and said, sold.
What?
How fucking cool is that, dude? Oh. The guy had taken care of him his whole time, you know, there, this cafeteria worker probably makes close to minimum wage, always idolized this guy's car. He worked hard every day. He was a nice guy. He would loan him money. He would give him food and just be a cool guy. And the coach fucking repaid him with a Mercedes.
Not too shabby.
And that was, and what was cool was the guy actually, you know, he approached it like, hey, can I borrow some money? So the guy actually thought he was doing the rich guy a solid. And I just thought that was a really cool, like,
what if he was like, man, fuck you. It's your last day here. You're not going to come back and give me money.
Right. That's, and knowing my luck.
Because he's probably Chinese.
That'd have probably been me. Like, I'd have probably been like,
Actually, I don't have any money. Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had any cash on me, and then the switch would have flipped in his head and been like, you know, maybe this isn't a great idea.
All right, fuck you. You don't get a car. What? But, awesome. Hey, that's a class of the week right there.
And, of course, the other sports-related story, Little League World Series starts this week. And,
oh, yes, it does.
And Lafayette, Louisiana was lucky enough to represent the Southwest portion of the Little League bracket.
You mean East?
No, I do mean Southwest. Louisiana is clumped in with the Southwest because there's so many teams in like Florida and along the East Coast that they have really, really Southeast, and then they have Southwest.
All right.
So, but no, we will be rooting for Lafayette, Louisiana, because it is the first time that a Louisiana and or Mississippi team has represented. Texas typically takes it every year. Mm. So.
Go Lafayette, tight bottoms.
Go Lafayette.
Something about those boys in their uniform.
So what else you got for me this week?
There's something everybody should check out. We'll put a link to it. I don't know if I'm going to embed this, but it's something called Swarmanoid. Have you seen this? Do you know about this? It won an award for something.
Is it a film? Is it a video game?
Well, it's documenting a colony of robots that a university in Belgium put together in Brussels. And what it is comprised of is three different types of robots. You have a robot that has a camera mounted to it, propellers, can fly and hover, and it has an attachment on its head that can stick to magnetic ceilings. Then you have another robot that just has wheels on it and rolls around and also has a positioning system embedded in it. And then you have a third type of robot that is a climber, and it has two like clamp-like arms and can scale objects by climbing on to boundaries and borders. It cannot move on the ground on its own. So the way this system works is they gave it a task to identify one book within this facility. And the first thing that happens is the robots that fly around go around and they start a perimeter search to identify where this book is. And so it showed like all these ones streamed along a hallway until they eventually identified it. Then when they identify it, they communicate back to the little mover robots. Then the little mover robots link up physically with the climber robot and escort it there. And then the climber robot detaches from the movers, climbs up, gets the book, climbs back down. Then the movers join back up with it and then delivers it back to the goal area.
It sounds like a huge waste of time.
It's beautiful, dude. It's
I'm sure
awesome.
It looks fucking killer. Yeah, and they're how lit much up with money all these LEDs went into this project?
Enough. I mean, well, ostensibly, you know, it's going to go into identifying risk areas and sending in robots to do dangerous shit because they have no souls.
Yet.
But then I saw another video today that's even more scary, and it was with a robot called Mabel that kind of looks like the Japanimation Gundam robot, if you're familiar with that. And it runs around. It runs on two legs. Really kind of scary. It's by Michigan University with a grant from DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the United States government. And this thing's kind of scary because it's like ka-chung, 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 running around in a circle. And you can just imagine it with like armaments bristling from it and holding a fucking modified railgun.
Right.
Really, I want to see that. You know, I'm all about the end times. I mean,
yes, you are.
I want something to do. You know, let's bring it about.
Let's make it happen.
Fucking kill some Terminators, yo.
Yes.
So those are the top stories I have, pretty much.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Google acquired Motorola for $12.5 billion. That I would be remiss if I didn't mention that. Interesting because this will give them a hardware line to take Apple on head-to-head where they can perfect the hardware to really make the Android software shine, which is the one problem that they've had with the fragmented Android platform is that everybody's building a different device that runs it, so there's no homogeny in it. So either you have total open freedom and no consistency, or you have regimented system like Apple, and you have a homogeneous environment that's guaranteed experience and stability.
A hetero homogeneous?
Sorry. Well, I was reading also about gay birds.
Okay.
Did you hear about the gay birds?
It sounds like a bisexual bird. A hetero homo. I've not heard about the gay birds.
Well, last one on my list is the zebra finch. 16 males are raised together. Upon maturity, they show companionship-like indicators of preening each other, singing, and nuzzling beaks. When females were introduced after the males had reached
maturity... Do they listen to Broadway? Do they listen to show tunes?
A lot of Streisand. Okay. It's weird. They whistle that. Yes. I don't know, Lucky Girl. when females were introduced, only... three of the total eight pairs of males got with the chicks. Five pairs, so the majority of the males stuck together. And it was just going, not to say that, you know, they're not screwing each other in a prison-like scenario or anything like that, like Angola, but it's just the pair bonds of dependency that animals come to, you know, right. And it's wrong for people to make too much of it and be like, well, see, that is not only natural, it happens in nature. It's like, eh, not quite.
Right.
You know, it's like, depending on a partner for survival and existing in this cold, hard, cruel, dark world.
Right. Well, this week in Nerd Health, it was a large study was released that found that processed meats might give you cancer.
Oh, fuck.
So, for me, hot dogs being the big processed food. And you know what? Fuck it.
You eat hot dogs?
I do eat hot dogs.
Like, regularly?
And they're fucking delicious.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of fucking sodium, though, bro.
Yeah. Well, you know my lifestyle. Sodium is the last fucking thing I'm concerned with. Of all the things I'm going to...
attack the things that you can part
of all the things I'm going to die of, sodium, not high on my list.
Yeah?
Yes.
How often do you eat hot dogs?
I don't know. Maybe...
hourly?
Maybe once or twice a week.
Oh, okay. Well, you made it sound like it was a, you know, a go-to meat product.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I would say okay, frequently.
It's a safe place, you can be honest. Okay. Frequently? So, that's not so bad. I mean, come on. I was thinking like an everyday kind of thing, you know. They are pounded in nitrates and nitrites and fucking
all I do eat of- all beef, though. All beef hot dogs when I can.
Well, that's good. At least you're keeping it real and not doing the fucking pork chicken abominations.
Right.
That's it for fuckheads. So yeah, screw that.
That's kind of scary. Also, we can do our celebrity tweet of the week. And this is proving that not all the tweets of the week have to be well-versed. This is from Ron Artest.
Of
NBA fame. He says... I'm on the toilet taking a dump! Exclamation point. Cool, right? Question mark. So
that is
the celebrity tweet of the week because I saw it and I was like, really? Man, really?
Oh, man.
Like
when technology is ill-used.
It's funny because when Twitter first came out, I used to do a bit and say, I'm not on Twitter because if I wanted someone to know, every time I took a shit, I'd go to prison. And I found this amusing because I was like, wow, it really, like reality just became comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like life just imitated art. Twitter has come full verse to, yes, now celebrities are actually telling their followers when they are taking a shit.
Second BM today.
There it is.
Was swell.
And live and in living color.
Yeah, the first thing I'm going to do when I own that sports franchise I'm looking at buying is I'm going to develop some system by which every member of my team's email and Twitter and Facebook updates are fielded to a group of sober white Jewish people that are kept in an air-conditioned facility that can't be reached. And they're going to debate over whether or not this is impacting for the good or the bad of either the player's image or my organization that I give them millions of dollars to play for.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how funny it's going to be for you to go walking around looking for old Jewish people and saying, hey, come here. I want to quarantine you all.
It's for your protection. No, really?
They're like, we've heard that before.
Nice try.
You're not fooling me again. Oh, shit. And, of course, for Diane, we do the, well, for everybody, but she got us on the This Week in Nerd History kick. And This Week in Nerd History, Woodstock, 1969, August 15th was the opening day of Woodstock. But, of course, people close to the Gulf South region will also know that Hurricane Camille made landfall
nasty
around the 17th of August, 1969. So it was the same week. Didn't know if the landfall, I know it formed on the 14th of August, 1969, but I think it made landfall around the 17th. But anyway, that happened the same week. So people in the Gulf South that are our age might not know that while Woodstock was going on, the infamous, famous Woodstock Hurricane Camille, which we all grew up with tales with from our parents and grandparents, was making landfall at the same time.
Imagine how great that had to be back in the day. Like, you didn't have cell phones, you didn't have your Twitters, you didn't have all this instant messaging bullshit.
Right.
If, like, you and I were like, dude, there's a big thing happening at this place called Woodstock, let's go. And we go there, and we would not be bummed out.
That's
like, we
true.
Would not get calls being like, your family's dead until after it.
Right.
You know, because we don't want to be in the middle of Hendrix and like, brr, brr.
Yeah, but
coast devastated.
But imagine, but imagine having a couple of squares of acid left over, and on the drive home being like, okay, let's take them when we hit like Memphis, and then pop in the last two squares.
I think we got that brown acid, dude.
Just south of Nashville or something, and then you get back here and it's like fucking complete devastation, and you're like, whoa, man,
God is punishing my brain.
I see really fucked up shit right now, dude.
You do too. I wasn't going to say anything. I thought it was me.
Is that a car in the tree, man?
That's our car.
Oh, we're so fucked up right now. Oh, that's good stuff. Anyway, let's wrap this puppy up like a crescent hot dog. What are you nerding on this week?
I am nerding on an iPad.
Okay.
We got an iPad in our hizzy.
Nice.
Yeah. A gentleman that I do some web hosting and development for worked out a deal to where I give him free web hosting. He gave me an iPad 1 that he just didn't want anymore. Used it very lightly. Yeah. I wiped down all the U-porn stains that he left on it and put it in this Otter box. Are you familiar with those?
Protective
casing for mobile devices. My wife opted on the white and black model.
Okay.
It looks like if a stormtrooper had an iPad,
yes.
he would fucking put it in this goddamn thing.
Sure.
It looks pretty awesome.
Cool.
I don't like the bulk on it, but anyway, the number one thing I've been doing on that, believe it or not, is reading books.
Fucking traitor.
I know, right?
You fucking traitor.
Awesome, dude.
Whatever, it's awesome. Nothing beats a hard fucking back book in your hands turning the actual pages. You and your neophyte fucking D-bag Kindle fucking iPad readers can go suck a fucking...
Yeah, that's great. You know?
Dick.
You know where all those highfalutin morals fall, Jonathan?
In the goddamn library, which is where you should be, and not on a goddamn Kindle.
I got it for free. One of those books that I'm reading right now. Thank you very much. Well, all right?
I'm just saying.
Plus, I owe the library
don't
money,
give up.
So.
Don't give up on the real thing.
Are you kidding?
Man.
I'm reading like a 1,300-page book right now. Fuck that. I got like goddamn Stephen King in there, Kurt Vonnegut, fucking Carl Sagan, you name it. I got like 30 books that are going to fill me from here to Domesday, baby. And it's all in one good inch-thick son-of-a-bitch little iPad.
Right. You're the only person I know that lives in like a 4,000-square-foot house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, I don't have room for books.
I don't have budget for books, dude.
I feel you.
I wanna,
how much
like
is the
book?
Difference between a price and like of a book in like iBook or whatever and
that's
going down
question.
To Borders and buying a fucking paperback?
Probably like a new release, you know, something like that that would get some kind of command of market would probably be about $5 in your favor to go for the digital version of it. They can't make it so much cheaper because publishers would never agree to have it on those devices because
right.
it would destroy their paper model. I mean, something's going to have to break. sooner or later. But these I got from a community of peers that I share content with because they are my friends and I know them all personally.
Yes.
And they gave me these awesome like 500 books. It's like insane, dude. And I waited a whole week before using the device to masturbate. I'm really proud of
that
myself.
That is fucking stellar, man.
It is. Thank you. I was proud for my restraint.
That's very nice. Well, this week I am nerding on Words with Friends, a Scrabble-like video game I am sure most of the proletariat is familiar with. They finally opened it. For the longest time, it was only on like Androids and iPhones, and I have a BlackBerry. Fuck off, you fucking Kindle fucking D-bag.
It's an iPad, you idiot.
Yeah, it's the same fucking concept.
No, it's not.
No, it totally is.
Oh, wow.
You're going to kill the fucking literary industry.
Forgive him, Father. He knows not what he says.
Single-handedly, you, Ryan Reinecke, are going to destroy the American publication business.
Well, disconnect your Netflix, fucking whole grain bitch.
What was I talking about? Fucking Words with Friends.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they finally put it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can play...
Because I need another reason to stay on there
right.
for 18 hours.
Sure. So I now get to play with my friends that have it on their phones. I can play ghetto style on Facebook. And it's been interesting seeing what words are accepted by the computer, uh-huh. the all-knowing, all-literary computer program algorithm that they have. Porno, accepted.
Really?
KY, not accepted.
Can you do... Yeah, you can do proper nouns and like Scrabble stuff, like craft. You can do that, can't you?
No.
Oh, you can't? No. Well, it's a name brand. That's why you can't do it. I bet if you put lubricant, that would accept.
Probably.
Yeah. No, well, that's why.
But I mean, if you can come up with Astroglide, I think you should get the fucking points for it. That's all I'm saying. If you can make that work, I say go for it.
Yeah.
I would give, in a game of Scrabble, if somebody put out Astroglide, I would say, you know what?
Nah, stakes are high in a Scrabble game. You'd be like, no, no. Is Astro a word just by itself? I don't think so.
I mean, it's a prefix.
Yeah. I don't think prefixes would work.
I think they are. I think prefixes are in the dictionary.
Yeah. I don't know. I always lose my ass at Scrabble. But it's kind of cool. You can put in a couple of stuff and then come back to it hours later.
Yes.
Like kind of a remote chess game or something.
Yes, but the problem is I don't do this, and I know everybody says they don't do this, but I've gotten my ass kicked in several games so far. So I know I'm not doing it, and I know other people are doing it, is they will just sit there and try 500 combinations of words that they're not familiar with at all.
Right.
And, you know...
No.
Really, you knew X, Y, K,
Zygotenoid?
C, yeah. G, D, F was a word, really? No. Like that you saw those on your fucking Scrabble board or Words with Friends board and said, hey, I can spell X, D, Y, F, G, 7-2.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that kind of play, man.
Yeah, no, and I do too.
You know what they're doing? They got some place bookmarked that you can go to online where you just enter the letters you have and it'll tell you every single word you can make right there. Boom.
So.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. They don't fucking try, click, click, click.
But I have a couple of friends that I know don't do that, so I think I'm going to whittle down my Words with Friends friends list, if you will, to select few. But anyway, that's it. That's the show for this week. Episode 28 is in the books. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Check out the show links below. And of course, if you're going to get something from Amazon, get it from us and help a brother out, as they say.
Click true. Check out our new about stuff and enjoy the page and get active in the forums. You can now upload some avatars and stuff like that. And man, we need to get some peeps up in there. Get some conversation bouillabaisse going on.
There you go. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll catch you next time.
Later on. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
You just got your asses whipped by a bunch of damn nerds. Nerds! Yeah!
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.